Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And we're going to be crossing now to Eugene Herbert. Eugene, very good afternoon to you.
Hi, Gary.
Hello, Eugene. Eugene Herbert, the chief executive of Master Drive. Hi, Eugene, can you hear me? I think you're a little bit soft there.
You are perfect. I'm not a problem.
Okay. Now, as long as our listeners can hear you. Anyway, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. So, Eugene, talking around fuel additives, can you give us some indicator? What are the advantages, disadvantages of using fuel additives?
Maybe if, Gary, if you can just give some background to this.
Yes.
I think we picked up and I did some consulting from some research from abroad a while ago about these magic pills. And I use the word magic in inverted commas, all right? Because they purported to give your extra fuel consumption, extra performance, and all of those good things that we hope for. But you know what? It reminds me very much. Remember in the Western movies, they used to have the guy selling snake oil.
Yes.
Making all sorts of claims. And you know what? When you have a look at what has been circulated, there is nothing at this point that one can really establish that there's any type of meaningful savings that can be achieved. And even if there is, the immeasurable amount is so insignificant. This is not new to the world. It's been around since before 2007. And all the tests that were done on these ingredients, and there's two important components, or one or the other, or it could be a combination. One is called naphthalene. It's the type of thing that you can still find in mothballs. And I don't know if, Gary, you'll remember guys putting that in their petrol tank.
Yes, I do.
To boost the octane.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
So that's one of the components that's supposed to give you improved performance. And the other one is called ferrocene. But what research shows, and I think the AA have spoken out about it, and I think Arrive Alive also made a comment, is that it's got the potential to damage your engine. Because you get carbon build up, not only on the plugs, but on other components of the engine. And you know, we must remember that the engines that we run in our cars today are so finely tuned. You know, you need a computer to be able to get the best out of it. So the moment we start dropping things into our tank, the origins of which we don't know, it could create problems down the line. And I think some research shows that it could be as little as 5,000 kilometers down the road if we make a habit or make a practice of putting these things into our tanks.
And I'm actually just having a look, and there are quite a few videos online around these fuel tablets and of motorists popping these pills into their tanks. And I mean, surely misfueling or putting foreign materials into your fuel tank, as you say, I mean, it cannot do any good. And I mean, what is the idea? Do they think it's going to stretch the mileage? Is that the idea behind it?
Well, Gary, if you look at it, maybe it's the placebo effect. You know, you put it in there, you think it's going to be good, and now you start looking for ways that it has improved. You know, the city rent that you put in, has it gone further? What you don't necessarily take into account is that maybe your driving style was different. You know, maybe there was less traffic on the road. For example, during school holidays, there's less traffic, so we're going to have less stop and go, and therefore we are going to achieve a savings. In any case, so now you and I want to say, you know, that magic pill that we put in our tank, it really works. So it's a kind of placebo effect in many instances, but the threat of doing damage to our vehicles should not be discounted. And it's something that I do think there's more than sufficient warnings about it. And you and I as motorists, you're the responsible. If you want tips and advice, please, we will happily share it as an organization. And just think about one thing. If we're used to traveling at 120 kilometers an hour, because that's the speed limit, that's, to many people, it's like the target, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you reduce that to 100 kilometers an hour, you probably are going to be saving between 10 and 15% of you on your fuel in any case. If you don't carry the zoo on your 4x4 bucket, you know, the kitchen sink and all these other things, you're going to lessen the weight. So your fuel consumption is going to be improved. If you do check your tires regularly and you're not running them underinflated, you are going to optimize the vehicle's capability of traveling along the road and therefore reducing resistance, and therefore you're going to get savings. So there's so many other proven methods that we can use that will reduce our costs. And I think one of the things that's become a greater reality is the probability of carpooling.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
10 people in a company going to the same direction, coming from the same suburb, but all traveling in their own motor cars.
Absolutely. I mean, do you remember a while back where we had that single lane that you couldn't travel? I mean, that was a number of years ago. And, you know, Eugene, you were talking about fuel efficiency. And, I mean, I grew up with the long periods of idling, trying to avoid that and things. But, I mean, these days, I guess, with load shedding or whatever, and our traffic lights not working, we seem to be sitting idling all the time. And I mean, if you don't have a modern car, I mean, you can't really switch off, on all the time. So, I mean, you've got no choice, I suppose, but to idle all the time.
Yeah, in some instances, Gary, it's the case.
Yeah.
Can I just share another thought with you?
Please.
This, I think, is for motorists. They feel that in modern cars, that's bad for the starter because, you know, it's continually.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned something really interesting at a presentation. I think it was Ford or a while ago. Good while ago they gave it. And they said modern engines, when it does that, they're designed to either lessen the compression or release it so that the startup is not placing an undue amount of stress on the starter motor. So the manufacturers have made sure when you have this switch on, switch off, stop, go, stop, start thing, it's not doing any damage to the engine. It's designed to do that. But the picking up on your earlier comment, and I absolutely agree, you can't move in from one point to another, keep switching on and off the engine. But there are times when we're standing in the traffic for an extended period of time, and then it just behooves us. But remember, when you do that, you're switching off the power steering, probably, the aircon, because you're not going to
need
more. So we need to take cognizance of all the other things when we do one or other thing that's going to make a difference for us. And if I can just share this other point, you know, when we have a look today, most everyone's got a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
We can check, get Waze or Google Maps or something that will give you an indication where there's heavy traffic buildup and probably an alternative route. I was in Rosebank this afternoon and traveling there on the M1 North, there was some congestion. And I made a mental note not to come back along there. So I came back along Jan Smuts and picked up the highway up above where Hollard is. And I was back at the office in 15 minutes. So if we pay attention to what we're doing, we can find innovative ways of reducing the cost of operating a vehicle on a daily basis.
I think you've raised such a good point there, and the Waze, because I personally know of so many people that don't use Waze. You know, they use Google or Apple, whatever, and they I often say to them, why don't you use Waze? And they say, nah, just couldn't be bothered. And you've raised a good point. It's giving you a live feed. It's giving you live information. And if you obey it, if you listen to it, I guess it's going to help you. It really will. And maybe one of the ways to just become more fuel efficient and time efficient is to start using your GPS and not be shy to use it.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, when I travel with people who are not familiar with, and I put the smartphone on. And please, let's not, and that's a subject for another discussion, distracted while driving, right? I'm not advocating that you fixate on this. But if I have that on the dashboard where I can see it, and it can even give verbal directions, they ask me, don't you know where you're going?
Yeah.
On the contrary, I know exactly where I'm going, but I'm looking for that to give me the most efficient route, and it'll give me a timeline when I'm going to arrive. So there's so many things as far as technology are concerned that are there to benefit us, but sometimes we're just too lazy. You know, we slip into the old way of doing things and we're not prepared to make changes. But you and I today, irrespective of who we are, how old we are, or whatever habits we may have formed, need to relook at those with a view to changing and having a positive impact on the cost of motoring.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess also with this fuel increase, the costs, carpooling, GPSs, I think we need to just become more efficient. We need to look at what we're doing, how we do it. Etienne, any advice just in closing? Anything that you can suggest or some more good advice?
Yeah, if anybody, and our website is out there, we have newsletters that we communicate weekly to people. If they want to subscribe to it, there's no cost. It gives various tips. We would probably be able to update anything new that we hear. And in fact, there's this art, this thing about fuel pills or magic pills is the subject of a red alert that we've sent out. So we endeavor to keep motorists informed in a positive way.
Absolutely.
So that,
Eugene, your website?
That's www.masterdrive.co.za, and you'll find it, I think it's under other resources, newsletter, subscribe. No obligation. You want to cancel it anytime, you're more than welcome. But it's nice and informative. It's got about 15,000 database at the moment. So we're talking to a wide audience. In fact, not only in South Africa, Australians subscribe, ex-South Africans have gone to another country, Brazil, Tanzania, Germany. It's nice to know that we share good news with people across the world.
Absolutely. And Eugene Herbert, Chief Executive of Master Drive. Thank you so much, Eugene, and have a very good evening.
Pleasure. Take care.